312-981-7200 is the phone number here for talk and text. We would love to hear from you now. We're going to be talking about board games. Do you guys still play board games? What are your favorite ones, and which ones did you play when you were a kid, or what are your family's favorite ones? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're going to hear from you on that. Dan, you a Scrabble player?
I was in college.
Oh, so it was just that? It was just college for you?
Yeah. I know this sounds pretty dorky, because it is, but on Wednesday night, there was no bar specials at the bars that were easily accessible to us, so we had Scrabble and Muffin Night.
Right. I remember you telling about this.
Great. We would go to the lovely Perkins restaurant, where they had 2-for-1 muffins every Wednesday, and load up on muffins, and then come back, have a couple beverages, eat some muffins and play Scrabble.
See, that sounds like a lovely. That sounds like a lovely.
It's a
evening.
Lovely Wednesday.
There's
evening.
No question about it. Were you being called Leon at that time?
I was not. That was post. That was my second game night group of friends. So
okay.
This was college game night friends. So.
All right. And Vic, did you play board games when you were growing up? Do you have any favorites?
Well, so as far as Scrabble goes, I do not have that skill where you can. Kind of quickly figure out a word from a mix of letters.
Yeah.
I suck at that. So
yeah.
I never really liked Scrabble.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't work that way.
And you know what? That's legitimate, though, Vic. That's totally legitimate. There's a lot of people out there who just have so much, you know, have trouble with that.
Jeannie is awesome at it, of course.
She must have been happy about yesterday's outcome for the Brewers, right?
Oh, yeah. We actually watched it.
Yeah.
You know, you asked me yesterday about... if I hope the Brewers win now that the... I kind of was rooting for the Brewers last night.
Yeah.
I was, but anyway. You know what we play at my house?
Mm.
Especially since I'm doing improv now and it's taking classes. We play reverse charades. And
reverse
we love
charades.
It. When my kids come. That is a blast
now,
with your kids.
Explain reverse charades, because I know what charades is, but...
Well, I'm not current on the rules of the game. I just do what my kids tell me to do. I just get up. Basically, to me, it seems like charades. But and we may be playing with some sort of house rules. I don't know. They read the rules, Nick.
Oh, okay.
I just do what they say. Right.
Oh, okay.
I basically just... It seems like charades to me. You basically have a person telling you... you have...
Act out what's...
It could be a group of people. There's a couple of us acting out, and then one person's guessing as we act out.
Yeah, that's...
Pretty sure we're playing it wrongly.
Yeah, no, charades is a that's a fun game. It is. I mean, that's a classic, you know. You can play that anywhere. All you need is like... some paper and some pens, write stuff down, throw it in a hat, and go to town. You know what I mean? That's it. It's simple. Well, Scrabble, you might want to tell Jeannie this, Vic, if she's so good at Scrabble. They're adding 300 words. Now, you know how, you know, if you're playing Scrabble, Dan, as you know, how often did you challenge?
We would challenge because our friend Jackie was that one in the group who was always better. So we'd always challenge something, you know, just because it would be probably a word. But it's like at this point we need a Hail Mary to win, so we're gonna challenge it. So maybe once a game, just for fun.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't play Scrabble a lot when I was younger. When I was a little bit older, I played more. But that wasn't a game that was in my house growing up. And, you know, most of the board games that I played either with my parents because I'm an only child, or if I had a couple of friends over, we would play. But Scrabble, Scrabble became like really big, you know, on the computer and online and Words with Friends, which Alec Baldwin liked to play on a plane. he refused to turn off his device because he was playing for... Do you remember the bit that they did the following week on SNL?
I forgot.
Okay, well, he was... Okay, so for people who don't know, is it about 10 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
Something like that. About 10 years ago, Alec Baldwin... Did he get kicked off the plane, or I don't think he get kicked off. He made a scene, and I think the plane was delayed because of it. But I don't think they did. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they did kick him off the plane. I don't remember the detail.
He was kicked off.
Oh, he was. Okay, so he was kicked off the plane. And what airline was it?
American.
It was American. All right. So he refused to turn off his phone because he was playing Words with Friends, which is basically Scrabble, but you're playing it with other people online. And And so he refused, and he made a big scene. They kicked him off the plane. All right, so this obviously made, you know, national news because he's a big celebrity, and he refused to turn off his device. They kicked him off the plane. Then the following week, or the week that it happened, that next Saturday, they were doing Weekend Update, and they said, we have, you know, I want to say Seth Meyers was the... Seth Meyers, I believe, was anchoring Update at that time. And he said... Well, right now we want to hear from, you know, they tell the story about Alec Baldwin, and right now we want to hear from the pilot, the American Airlines pilot, about his version of what happened during this incident. And they come out, and it's Alec Baldwin with a pilot suit on and a mustache, and he's doing like a Southern accent, and he's like, I think Alec Baldwin was treated terribly on that plane, and you just started. And then Seth is like, you know, Alec, everybody knows it's you. And he's like, oh, I got this, Seth. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And so he keeps going. It was a really, really funny bit. And he was talking about maybe you didn't want to, maybe Mr. Baldwin had a really good score going and got to use a cue, you know, or so, it was something to that effect. But it was a really funny bit. So Scrabble has become, you know, very popular in the interwebs and all over the place. I mean, variations on it, words with friends and stuff. But they've added... Now, do they have, like... They do have a Scrabble dictionary, right?
They do have an official, both online and physical Scrabble.
So you can look it up to see if it's right in the actual... Well, they've added 300. Now they've added 300 words. That's a lot of words, right, Dan?
That is a lot of words.
I mean, that would extend your Wednesday night game for a little while.
Sure.
Scrabble players might find themselves twerking their way to victory soon as hundreds of new words have been added to the game. The sixth edition of Merriam-Webster's official Scrabble Players Dictionary includes 300 words such as twerk, beatdown, and sriracha. And it finally adds a common two-letter word that players have been waiting for use for decades. Okay. Oh, that was not legal, right? Okay.
That was not legal.
All right. For a living language, the constant is change, said Peter Sokolowski, editor-at-large of for Merriam-Webster. The official Scrabble Players Dictionary evolves to keep up with English as it is used today. The modernization of the game's lexicon can be seen in recently added words like Bitcoin, facepalm, and emoji. Entries like sheeple, people who are docile and easily influenced, and listicle... They were derived from internet lingo. What's listicle? Do you know what that is?
I do not.
Well, apparently it's legal now. It's been added to the Scrabble dictionary, but that's internet lingo.
A piece of writing or other content presented wholly or partly in the form of a list.
Like a lot of the stuff we do on the show.
Yes.
Because it gets conversations going.
Right.
Additions.
So a list article.
A list article. I got it. Okay. I thought it was referring to something else, but I didn't want to. That's why I was wondering, what is that? Additions like these will add a new layer of fun to game night, making gameplay even more entertaining and relevant, said Jonathan Berkowitz, who is the president of Hasbro Brands. Cue words are always tough, especially those without a U in them. And players can monetize with the word Kapik, which is a unit of currency that's used in Azerbaijan. The updated version of the Player's Dictionary continues to follow some of the game's most important rules. Words must still come from a standard dictionary. No abbreviations, capitalized words, or words with punctuation are allowed. Other words that were included include yowza. Yowza! Macaroon. Zomboid, resembling zombies. And I've never heard... I'm a zombie fanatic, Dan. Okay? Zombies are some of my favorite things in the world. Zomboid? I've never once used that word. And I am friends with many zombie aficionados, and I consider myself a major zombie aficionado. I've never once heard or used the word zomboid. Resembling zombies. And puggle. So Puggle is finally in there. So. All right. Well, now, so that's Scrabble. So they've added, the 300 words to Scrabble. And so now you can twerk. You can put twerk down. Yeah. So anyway, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you're a Scrabble player, How do you feel about these 300 new words? So that means you got to get the new Scrabble dictionary, because you know obviously the new one's completely, or the older one is completely outdated, big time. If they've added 300 words, so. Now, Scrabble, if you buy Scrabble now, it doesn't come with the dictionary, right? The Scrabble dictionary, you got to buy it on your own.
Ours did not.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but obviously that was a few years ago.
Okay. All right. Well, and then
the
now,
online is free, though. The online dictionary is free.
Oh, it's free. So you could just log in and check it out. Oh, I see. All right. Okay. And is it just ScrabbleDictionary.com or something like that?
It's Scrabble.com.
And then you can go to the dictionary page. Okay. All right. Cool. Scrabble, you know, is considered, I have here a list of the 30 best board games of all time, and Scrabble is number one. And I don't think that's surprising, right, Dan? I mean, Scrabble.
No, I mean, I think one of the things is that obviously you could play it all ages.
Yeah,
you know, and it's been around for so long.
Yeah, yeah. And well, here's how they. I really loved how they break down the way that they rate the.
Yeah, it's
the,
pretty
the board games. It's pretty cool. So they have the these are the scales that they have. See, it's the data and selection process for the list of the 30 greatest American board games is based on a triangulated key term searches on Amazon.com controlling for relevance and reviews, plus the estimated total sales at BoardGameGeek.com. The games are rated on 4 5-point scales according to, one, their nostalgia rating. Example, their classic status with American society and culture lasting multiple eras, indicating by their self-replication and appearance in popular television, film, video games, and other media, indicated in their respective Wikipedia entries. Okay, so nostalgia rating. And then next is their play rating. That would be user intuitive and age-appropriate ability to be played and enjoyed, indicated by qualitative ratings on Amazon.com and other review sites. And then next is their cult rating, which is their communities formed online in message boards and niche enthusiast sites, and any awards indicated by Wikipedia or BoardGameGeek.com. And then finally, their education rating, which is the ability to develop age-appropriate skills from fine motor skills to memory and strategic thinking, and any relevant awards or recognition for these characteristics for information at Wikipedia or BoardGameGeek.com. There are no losers on this list. And let's see what's going on. So Scrabble comes in at number one, and it scores really high. I mean, it scored altogether in the four categories, 95% it scored. Nostalgia, it gets 100%, which of course makes sense. It's been around. Everybody knows Scrabble. Play, 90%, because it is easy to play. Cult, 90%. And education, obviously, 100%. That's way the highest score. That's the highest score of all the board games, according to this methodology that they're doing. So, but we want to talk board games with you guys. Which ones do you guys love? What are your favorites? And I can tell you whether or not and how they scored on this review list here, according to these four categories. And we can look it up for you and find out what the score was. And we'll talk a little bit about that kind of stuff. But we would love to hear from you. And do you guys still play board games? I know in this, you know, electronic tech society that we live in, some board games have fallen by the wayside. But what are some of your favorites? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right? All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll jump back in and talk about it. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago. And we're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. And we want to hear from you. The phone lines are open and the text lines are open. We're talking board games. And we've got a real interesting way that this website has rated these board games in four different categories: the nostalgia rating, the play rating, the cult rating, and the education rating. And scoring high, huge in all four of those categories is Scrabble. And we started talking about this because Scrabble has now added 300 new words to the dictionary that you can use in the game of Scrabble. But that got us talking about board games and games in general. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And let's see. Ike in Country Club Hills says, Perfection and Connect 4, and they recently made board games out of movies such as Terminator, Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing, and Rambo. Rambo 5 is filming now. Jeez. That's funny. I didn't know that there was a mention of the thing here, Dan.
How fortuitous.
Because I was just telling Dan off the air that I have to purchase another copy of The Thing on Blu-ray because it's a limited edition steelbook from Scream Factory, which has four different discs. One of them is all extras with new documentaries. There's all common with new commentaries. There are three versions of the movie, including a 4K Blu-ray version, an incredible steelbook case, and a collectible lithograph. So I have to buy this movie. As I said to Dan off the air, I have purchased. This will be the fourth time I've purchased John Carpenter's The Thing. Be the fourth time I've purchased it on CD, DVD / Blu-ray. Not to mention the VHS that I had. Let's see. 301 area code says Clue, Scrabble, Uno, and Monopoly. In college, we played Risk, Diplomacy, and a few others. Yeah, Risk is a classic. And of course, I you know, I'm such a dork. I think of Seinfeld every time I hear Risk because Newman and Kramer have that long going game where they hide it in Jerry. They put the board game in Jerry's apartment so that neither of them will cheat. And they're playing it on the subway. It's just ridiculous, but yeah, Risk is a very popular one, and that's a game that could play for a long time. Like these guys, you know, they could play that for hours. Mark the Bread Man says, my current favorite board game is Chutes and Ladders that I play with my 5-year-old Saoirse. Oh, you named your kid Saoirse. That's Mark and his wife. Megan is a girl I worked with as a stage manager for a couple of plays many years ago, like 15, 16 years ago. So they've got a 5-year-old. They named her. Now, is that the only? I've never heard another Saoirse, other than the most adorable woman on the planet. I could listen to her talk all day long. If there were just like recordings of Saoirse Ronan talking, I would just have them playing constantly. That's it. All right. Well, let's see what we have next here. So Scrabble comes in at number one. And, you know, obviously it's a classic game. Monopoly comes in at number two, and they score for nostalgia 100%, obviously. Play 90%, cult 100%, and education 80%. It's perhaps the most iconic American board game of all. And it's a game dating back to 1903. Is a family multiplayer classic with a board, set pieces, two stacks of cards, a bank of cash, famous Monopoly money. Play is advanced by the throw of dice, and the game is known to last for hours. Hey, Dan, when you played Monopoly, how did you guys pick the banker? Ooh. Was there a way to, or would people just go, I'll be the banker?
Yeah, it was pretty much how it went. Just somebody just did it.
Yeah. Some of the games that we've played Monopoly, a lot of the times, like if I played with a certain amount, like if I played with my cousins, Jeff was always the banker. My cousin Jeff was always the banker. We was just like, all right, we didn't argue with it. He wanted to do it. And, you know,
what occupation does Jeff have now?
Jeff has passed away. Mm. He worked for the electric company.
Mm.
Yeah. He passed away back in 2011.
I'm always interested to know if, you know, the people go on to jobs like accountants.
Wait a minute. No, that's funny banker. That he worked at the electric company, considering that the electric company is an integral part of Monopoly.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Maybe that's why he went into it.
Yeah.
But no, if he would, you know, he was not into banking. I know that.
He just took charge.
Yeah.
Took it for the team.
Yeah. I mean, he was good with his money. I know that much. But yeah. But that was the thing, you know, like, and I know people would fight, some people would fight over who would be the banker. So, now, did you ever play Monopoly, like, did you ever have any, like, epic Monopoly battles?
It wasn't a big game in our house. We only played a few times, and we never did, like, you know, buying properties and things like that. It was more just, you know, till you ran out of money and you... You know what I mean? Like, we didn't build the hotels or anything like that. So that shortened the game significantly.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. All right. So Monopoly comes in second, which, of course, makes sense. And then third is a game I've never played. Is it Catan? Catan?
Catan.
Catan.
Yeah.
Catan. That's the game where you,
You eat apples wildly.
You eat apples wildly, and yeah, you act like Mr. Peepers and Mango. That's what you have to do. So, Catan is... Why do I not know this game?
I know a little bit about it. It's pretty... It's like the Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
not
we'll
in
talk
terms
about
of content, but just in terms of following.
That's okay. I got it. All right. All right. Well, we'll get into that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about board games. Do you still play them? What's your favorites? News next. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio on a Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. Coming up straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. All of our regular features. We're here till 5 o'clock. And right now we're talking about the best board games. And really interesting, you know, how these board games have been scored in this particular list. And they were scored by nostalgia value. Play value, cult value, and education value. And we've been talking about this because Scrabble has now added 300 more words that are usable during the game. And that got me to thinking about board games in general and which ones do you guys love, which ones did you play, which ones do you still play? 312-981-7200. Here's Ray on WGN. Hey, Ray.
Yeah, a board game that we played a lot back in the day. It was called Parcheesi.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember Parcheesi. I don't remember how to play it. Do you remember? Can you remind us how it was played? I remember playing Parcheesi.
Kind of. I remember it was a board. It was just like a race around the board, and you would go up and down, up and down. I believe it was a very popular East Indian game.
Okay. Yeah, I just remember playing it. I remember the name of the game, and I remember playing it, so... Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you, Ray.
Sure.
Parcheesi. Yeah. So now back to this to this game that we mentioned before the break, Catan, which was a game that I've never played, and I don't even know if I ever knew it before I read this. Catan engages players to successfully develop, manage, and earn victory points for the rich island of Catan. Vying for resources, navigating incidents, and maintaining resources are a few of the issues that players must govern. A huge hexagonal tile board, which can be rearranged for each game, creates new options and fresh play that makes up the island of Catan. And it got scores of 80% nostalgia, 85% play, 100% cult, and 100% education. Yeah, I've never played it. And Dan, you were saying that it's got a following, clearly, which is why it got 100% in the cult category.
Yeah, yeah, people who play it, like, obsess about it.
They obsess about it, okay. Let's see. 262 area code says Mastermind and Stratego. I don't know. Do you know Mastermind?
I do not.
I don't know Mastermind either. I know Stratego. Stratego was a game. I played that game all the time. I love Stratego. But I don't know Mastermind.
Code-breaking game for two players?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Stratego's for two players, too.
Yeah, two players decide in advance how many games they will play, which must be an even number. One player becomes the code maker, the other the code breaker. The code maker chooses a pattern of four code pegs. Duplicates and blanks are allowed. The chosen pattern is placed in the four holes covered by the shield, visible to the code maker, but not the code breaker. The code breaker tries to guess the pattern.
Wow. All right. Mastermind. 262 area code says, my parents love playing the game Sequence. Does it have a rating? And it didn't make the list. I don't know that game either. Do you know Sequence?
I do not.
I don't know that one either. We're learning about some new games, or at least I am. I didn't know about Mastermind. I wasn't aware of Catan, and I don't know what Sequence is. But
you might recognize it. It's got cards, like playing cards on a board,
mm-hmm.
and then the object of the game is to form rows of five poker chips on the board by placing chips on the board spaces corresponding to the cards from the player's hand.
Oh.
So I've never played it, but I've seen, like, the board. I've seen that game.
You've seen it before.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so that's Sequence. 312 area code, Trivial Pursuit, a.k.a. That Wedge Game. Yeah, we'll get to Trivial Pursuit clearly on the you can't have a list of board games and that. Man, you know, Dan, you were born right around the time Trivial Pursuit, I think, was released, because it was the early 80s when it came out. And I'm telling you, man, it was a phenomenon. Like, everybody had Trivial Pursuit. Everybody was playing Trivial Pursuit. And it just blew up. I mean, it was that and the Rubik's Cube, like right around the same time, both of those things like completely went through the roof. And everybody, we used to play Trivial Pursuit. We still play Trivial Pursuit, you know? But I have like the versions that nobody will play with me. Like I have the Seinfeld Trivial Pursuit, which no one would play with me. And I have the Seinfeld, Seen It, which no one will play with me. I have this Saturday Night Live Trivial Pursuit and the Saturday Night Live Seen It, and nobody will play that with me. We played it a couple of times, and we did it as teams, and everybody wanted to be on my team because they were like, "Well, I'm going to be on DiGilio's team." They're like, "You can't." This was when I was with Heather, and she's like, "I'm his partner, so just shut up. Nobody else is going to." So, because I'm such a geek. Trivial Pursuit is a great game, though. I mean, all the versions of Trivial Pursuit, you know, just the regular Genesis version and all the other versions, the little offshoots. It's a really, I don't know who developed the game. I don't know who made it, but it's a really great game, and it endures, you know. It's a simple game, too. And, you know, I'm trying to remember the bar that used to have Trivial Pursuit cards on the bar. They would have, like,
yeah. I know that
it wasn't maybe just one bar, maybe a few bars.
Yeah, I know Burger Belly, formerly Lead Belly, does mm-hmm. that.
They have the Trivial Pursuits. Yeah. And anyway, I think Ricochet's did it for a while, too. I think Ricochet's had, like, you know, those things. It's cool, too, because you're just sitting there like, all right, here's a little conversation starter.
Yep.
815 area code says they now have a Monopoly game with electronic purchases, no banker needed. Oh. And then says, I'll take checkers any day. The classic. All right. Now, here's another one I don't know, which comes in fourth on the list. Very high on the list, Dan, and I don't know it. Quirkle? Q-W-I-R-K-L-E. It was created in 2006. That's why I don't know it. I don't know if I've purchased a board game in that time. But Quirkle. So it gets a 90% total score, 80% nostalgia. How can it be nostalgic if it came out like 12 years ago? Is what it... play 100%, cult 80%, education 100%. Created in 2006, the award-winning Quirkle. Does anybody play this? 312-981-7200. Takes a fresh approach to tile-laying games. With 108 vibrant pieces displaying combinations of six different shapes in six different colors, players work to create a Quirkle by housing the tiles based on common attributes of color or shape. Working with a bag of tiles, players select six tiles and can lay one to six tiles in a single line on a playing space. As long as the tiles share common attributes, points are awarded. Players also have the option to exchange tiles with a toss of a turn to choose more tiles from the elusive stash. Players must maintain six tiles at all times, and the game continues until all the tiles have been chosen, and one player uses all of their Quirkle tiles in play. The player with the highest point tabulation wins. It's simple to learn, but addictingly hard to master. I do not know Quirkle, but according to this, people really like it. For logic lovers and the strategically minded, Quirkle is a new game with a time-honored and instantly classical feel that's won several coveted awards for its educational merits. It's a mix between Tetris puzzles, adversarial strategy, and geometric manipulation. This is a game that engages the mind but also motivates competitors to perfect gameplay and strategic vision. Wow. Okay. People like the Quirkle. I don't know it. Risk comes in next. Risk gets a rave score of 87.5%, nostalgia 90%, play 70%, cult 100%, education 90%. A simple goal of acquiring and defending territory launches into a strategic military gem with Risk. appealing to players of all ages, Hasbro's dice-rolling war game hits themes of diplomacy and conquest and will go down in history as one of the most popular board games with a major fan base of enthusiasts. Pieces range from foot soldiers to infantry to artillery, each assigned with increasing point totals. These pieces occupy and defend territory against other players as one conquers an entire continent. At larger point, a larger point per turn is rewarded. There are various options for shorter or longer gameplay, and battles contest, and players contest their various options for shorter or longer gameplay, and they contest their luck in the game by opting for a dice-determined battle if they can match the set pieces in a territory, which allows an under-resourced player to compete against a more robust army. The last player standing wins. Good old Risk. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Board games. Here's Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi.
We used to play a game called Memory. There were 108 little cards. You turn them down, and everybody would get a chance to turn one card over, and then you turn it back down, and then you would try to find its mate.
Yeah, that.
Did you play it?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that also known as concentration? Isn't concentration the same thing?
No, this is called. I'm 85 years old. No.
I think maybe concentration sounds like it's the same thing. I mean, maybe you guys called it memory, but I think it was.
It was a regular box, and it had memory across it. And then we used to play something called Faction 5.
Mm-hmm.
And something called Battleship. We had that before it was manufactured by the game person. We used to make our own on a piece of paper.
So you would play Battleship, like homemade Battleship on a piece of paper. That's really great. That's very, very cool. Yeah, Battleship was a big one for me, too. I loved Battleship. I thought Battleship was a lot of fun. Elizabeth, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Have a great morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Hey, Tracy Butler's listening. Hi, Tracy. We love Tracy Butler. Thanks for listening, Tracy. She says, I love Mastermind and card games like Hearts. She likes to play Hearts, Tracy Butler. She loves Masterminds. Well, there you go. If Tracy Butler loves it, it's got to be good. That's what I'm saying. 630 area code says, what about a good old-fashioned euchre? You have never played euchre? Dan, have you ever played it?
I have not.
I mean, it's a game that I know of. I know the name, and I know that people play it. It's been around forever. You ever play Pinochle?
Nope.
Pinochle's fun, man. Pinochle's a good card game. Let's see. 815 area code says, we love playing simple games like Guess Who and Memory. Oh, well, there we go. We have another one that's Memory. But Dan, look up Concentration. When it was a TV, it was a game show. But I'm pretty sure Concentration is the same thing. It's a board. You flip one thing, one tile over, and it has a picture on it. And then you have to, that one flips over, and then you have to find its match.
So the Concentration I'm looking at on eBay, it seems to be like... It might be a version of that slash like, okay, this one makes this picture, you know, 1, 5, and 7 make a picture.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's that. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's different then. That's different than Memory. You have to make the whole picture, you know, you got to get the whole picture connected. Right. Okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about. All right. We hate to play Risk. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody who likes that game. Really? 302 area code, backgammon. It's hard to beat for pure strategy and execution, and world tournaments are held. Yeah, backgammon is a fun game. Fun game. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And why don't we take a break? I think we should do that. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio is here. That's me. And we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Coming up, all of our regular Friday features. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. All coming up. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's all coming up. We are talking board games right now. What are some of your favorites that your family's played? We've got this really cool list here, an article that really goes in and talks about some of the greatest board games and does a really cool breaking down how they score it in the categories. There's the nostalgia category, the play category, the cult category, and the education category. And the granddaddy of them all, according to this article, is Scrabble. And the reason why we started talking about this is because Scrabble has just expanded their dictionary. 300 more words have been added to the game Scrabble that you can play, that you can use. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Which games do you love and which games are your favorite? Okay, let's see. Axis and Allies, 86.25% rave score. Nostalgia, 80%. Play, 85%. Cult, 80%. Education, 100%. Did you ever play Axis and Allies?
I did not.
I played it a few times. It wasn't sort of my cup of tea. I had friends who really liked it, and I'd play it a few times. But it's employing military tactics. This game, loosely based on World War II, brings out the strategic commander in everyone. Unlike other games that begin with from a blank slate, gameplay for Axis and Allies begins already immersed in wartime action. The Axis expansion is at its peak. The major powers of the world are teetering between complex allied relationships. Enter game players who must make critical decisions to employ attacks, strategically enter territories, and ultimately liberate and take occupation of cities. It's got a complex board. It's got cards, dice, coins, plastic military figures. The game can become tactical battlefields in a way for history buffs, and historical fiction fans will be thrilled. So there you go. Lots of awards that has won for Axis and Allies. And, yeah. All right. Now, here's one that I played constantly. This is one of my favorite board games of all time. And I still love it. And it's Clue. The rave complete score is 85%. Nostalgia, 90%. Play, 80%. Cult, 90%. Education, 80%. Who did it? Clue creates detectives of all of us since 1950. As players gather information to successfully deduce who, where, and how the crime was committed. A mansion is the setting for the board, and players move around the rooms, hallways, and secret spaces as they figure out who to suspect, which weapons were used, and where the crime was committed. The plot commences with secretly stashing one card from each category in a closed fact envelope. Players then roll dice to move along the different spaces of the mansion, stopping along the way to deduce the answer hidden in the envelope. Once a player feels confident that they have answered the facts of the case, they venture to making an accusation. If they are wrong, they must sit out and effectively lose the game. But if they successfully solve the three components correctly, they become the winner. Yeah, Clue's a great one. That's just a classic game. I mean, I love that. And there are now, like Monopoly, there are different versions of Clue. Like, I know there's a Simpsons Clue and other, you know, variations on it. And just like Monopoly, there are tons of different kinds of Monopoly. You know, there's all kinds. Now, Dan, Clue, you've played Clue, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
It's a great game.
It is. Did you enjoy the motion picture Clue?
I did enjoy the motion picture Clue. That was one of those on every 3 days HBO specials.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, They showed all the endings. So remember when the movie came out, people might not remember this, but when the movie Clue came out, they had three different endings. And, you know, the theaters, you would go to, one theater would show ending A, a different theater would show ending B, and a different theater would show ending C. And the thought process by the film company was that, hey, they're going to like this movie so much, they're going to want to see it three times to see the three endings. That's not what happened. It's become a cult classic now, the movie. But when it came out, it was not a hit at all. And that whole gimmick about, you know, trying to get people, the audiences, to see it three different times. Oh, I saw ending B. I want to go see ending C and ending A. That didn't work out. Luckily, as critics, at the critics screening, we saw all three endings. I can't remember which one was my favorite. I'm not a big fan of that movie, despite the fact that it's got an amazing cast. Like, a ridiculous cast. Tim Curry is unbelievable in it. I will say that. Tim Curry, as the butler, he's amazing and awesome. And Madeline Kahn, who, God bless her, one of the funniest women that's ever walked the face of the earth, has really funny moments in that movie. Dan, you remember the flames when she does the she gets so angry? Flames? I think you could see if you can find that. Madeline Kahn, A Clue, Flames. It's just her talking about how angry she gets and that flames come out of her face. Or something. I just remember that. I remember just almost falling out of my chair laughing at that. And it's one of those movies that, like you said, Dan, shows up on cable. And you watch it. You know what I mean? Like, it's on, and it's fine. But, again, a ridiculously good cast, and led by a really great Tim Curry, who has never... Tim Curry has never been bad in anything, as far as I'm concerned. He's even amazing in
yes,
Legend.
Yes, I did it. Anyway. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face, breathing... Heaving breaths.
But while we were in the billiard room, Miss Scott seized the opportunity.
You know what, it's just this little moment, but I think everybody loves that moment. I don't think it would have been singled out on YouTube, you know what I mean? But that's right. Like, that's her face. That's the best. That's actually my favorite moment in the entire movie is Madeline Kahn. God, I miss Madeline Kahn. She was so funny, man. Oh, my God. And her in Blazing Saddles. In everything. She was so great. Yeah, man. Oh, boy. All right. Battleship is up next here. Gets an 82.5%. Nostalgia, 80%. Play, 80%. Cult, 80%. Education, 90%. Humbly starting as a pencil and paper game during World War I. Oh, that's how our listeners started playing it, with just a pencil and paper. Playing Battleship on a pencil and paper. Battleship keeps opponents guessing which grid coordinate will successfully target and eventually sink their enemy's five ships. And it's because that's a great one. Do you remember Electronic Battleship?
I do not.
Yeah, it would go. It would make noises. If you missed, it would like plop into the ocean or something. And if it hit, you blew up the battleship, it would explode and make noises. It was Electronic Battleship. That was tech savvy, Dan. When that thing came out, I was like, ooh, the future.
Fancy.
Yeah. All right, let's break here for the news, and we'll come back. We'll jump into more. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. People online. And if you want to text in, it's 312-981-7200 for more board game talk. Oh. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, and we're here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude here, 1 to 5 a.m. every weekday morning, and Steve Grzanich will be here at 5 with the opening bell, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 will have your Friday morning drive, and it is Friday, which means Fly Jams Friday will be coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all of that stuff. Right now, we're talking about board games, and this all started... this all started with the story that the Scrabble is bringing in 300 new words that you can use in the game, and that got us talking about board games and which ones you love. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we've been talking about some of the scores that have been given to certain board games, and they are split into four categories in this website. They judge nostalgia value, play value, cult value, and education value. And we've been talking about Scrabble, turns out to be number one in all of those categories. So we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
Checking in from the 618. Area of the state on my way home from work.
All right.
Just got to say, we're lucky that we live in a massive renaissance era of board gaming. They've got tens of thousands of new board games out there. A lot of them inspired by like Settlers of Catan style games that had some of the European influence in it. Got a lot of new good games out there right now. Games like Pandemic, where the players actually work together and try to prevent treat and prevent global epidemics. Games like Ticket to Ride, Carcassonne, mm-hmm. Some great games out there right now.
Yeah, no, I know that a lot of really great games are being created and have been for several years now, and. And I know that that people are playing a lot of these new games. I don't have any board game stuff at home anymore, like the new board games and stuff. You know what the last, you know, thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. Dan, did you ever play Apples to Apples?
I did, yes.
That was a fun game. That was relatively new, right? Wasn't that early 2000s,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah.
That one, we played that. There was a time when we played that constantly. Right. I remember one New Year's Eve, bunch of us were at a party. It was a New Year's Eve party, and we played Apples to Apples till about 6 in the morning.
Wow.
You know? It was New Year's Eve, so we were drinking as well, but like it was, but 6 in the morning, we just nonstop Apples to Apples. I think that's a great game.
That is a great game. That was another favorite of my post-college game night friends. Actually, a friend of mine announced she was pregnant using cards. You know, you can make your own cards online.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we played that game a lot, and I had the creator of Apples to Apples on my show. Like when it first came out, I had the creator on, and they sent me. The company that manufactures Apples to Apples sent me the wooden crate edition, so it looks like an apple crate, and it's made of wood, like solid wood, the box, and it slides open like an apple crate. So they sent me like the deluxe version, which was pretty cool. No, but that's one of those games that's addictive. It really is.
Yeah.
You know? When Heather and I used to go to the movies at the park at Grant Park on Tuesdays when they used to do the movies at the park during the summer, we would meet up with a group of people and to kill time because you want to get there early and get a nice spot, so you get your blanket, you get out there, and you know, don't tell the park district, but we had wine and we would have some food, and we would play Apples to Apples until it got dark when the movie started. And that was one of the things that we did. Everybody, you know, make sure you bring a copy of Apples to Apples so that we can kill some time before the movie, because we're going to get there like 2 hours before the movie starts. So that was always fun. Next on this list is Jenga. Now, okay, nostalgia 60%, play 100%, cult 100%. Education 60%? Really? Dan, really? 60%? What are you learning when you're playing Jenga? How not to knock stuff over?
Right.
Did you ever see the giant Jenga?
Oh yeah, those are hilarious.
They have one in the Big Brother house. They had a room that was like it was a room with a door that you can go in and just chill out, and they had a giant Jenga. And there were so many times, you know, if you turned in, you know, to the late night version of it, or if you turned into the feeds, there are people in there playing Jenga for like 9 hours, and it was the big goofy Jenga, giant Jenga. Again, never good at Jenga, and I think you know why.
Shaky hands.
I'm not. I can't play Operation. I think I killed Captain. What's the guy's name? Orifice.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Orifice or something. But the guy who's operating on an Operation. Captain Cavity or something.
Cavity Sam.
Right. So Cavity Sam, that I lit that guy's nose up. I killed that guy on the operating table 8,000 times because I got shaky hands. I've always had that. I don't know, you know, what it is, but Jenga, I was never good at Jenga because of my crazy shaky hands. So, and how does Jenga score higher than Trivial Pursuit? Come on.
The only thing I can think of is that you don't necessarily have to be as well versed in the world
to play Jenga,
right? I mean,
you
just need a pair of somewhat steady hands.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see, for Trivial Pursuit, nostalgia 80%, play 75%, cult 80%, and education 80%. Trivia buffs are created around the Trivial Pursuit board. Trivia buffs are created around the Trivial Pursuit board, allowing a single player or team play with 6 challenging categories spanning geography to sports and leisure. So the board itself is a wheel, and everybody knows how to play Trivial Pursuit. I think that should have been higher than Jenga. That's just me. Much higher than Jenga. 708 area code says, my 9-year-old said he wants to learn chess. We just bought the board. I'm excited to teach him this classic strategy game. Dan, you play chess?
I did a lot when I was younger, not now.
I haven't played chess in many, many years. Many. I'm not very good at it. I can tell you right now. It's a game that I learned. I know how to play it, but I didn't. You have to play it
right
a lot in order to get really good at it. I haven't played it enough to be good at it. I did like Searching for Bobby Fischer, though.
Excellent film.
Oh my God! Whatever happened to that kid, Max Pomerac? I'll never forget that. The kid is so good in that movie. If you've not seen, here's the thing: Searching for Bobby Fischer is a phenomenal movie. Steve Zaillian wrote and directed it. Fishburne, Ben Kingsley, Joe Mantegna, Macy's in it. I mean, don't even please. And this kid is a star. Joan Allen is in it too. The kid is a boy. All of Steppenwolf is basically in the movie. But anyway, it's an astonishingly good movie, and it's like it makes chess. It's as exciting as watching any sports movie. Wouldn't you agree, Dan?
Oh yeah, very much so.
I mean, how would you think making a movie about a kid who plays chess like tense and exciting and outstanding? Like, I would have thought that. It's a great movie. If you've never seen Searching for Bobby Fischer, really seek it out because it's great.
According to this, he is the head of strategic policy at Airbnb in New York City.
You're kidding. That's what he's doing now?
Yeah, apparently so.
Good for him. How old is he now? Because that was 93 when that movie came out. He was probably, 11 maybe? 10 or 11 when he made that movie, I think.
34.
He's 34. So he's still a kid, but man, God, what a good movie. Patrick says Monopoly was
he was in definitely maybe.
He was?
Apparently. According to Wikipedia.
Well, that's your movie, man.
That is my movie.
Well, he probably looks different than he did when he was.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. He was an adorable kid, though. And on top of it.
He was one of the campaign workers when Ryan Reynolds was.
So it's a small role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's working for Airbnb. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty cool. Yeah, the kid was great. His performance was great. He was heartbreaking, too. The relationship he had with Kingsley was so complicated, complex, and great. And God, Mantegna is so good in the... I'm going to watch that movie when I get home. I've convinced myself right now that I need to bust out Searching for Bobby Fischer and watch that again.
Joan Allen's speech about...
Both
of them are... tugging too hard on
him. It's ridiculous, man. It's such a good movie. I like when he's like, they have the final match. I won't give anything away, but they have the big final match and they're all watching it like on TV. And the kid, this is a little kid and he's in this unbelievably tense, situation. And Lawrence Fishburne is like the street chess player. You know what I mean? Like the guy who plays in the parks on the street with the timer and everything. And so his technique is a lot different than Ben Kingsley. And I remember there's a scene in the movie when they're all watching, very, very tense, moment. And all the parents, there's also a really wonderful scene where they kind of like isolate the parents. They keep the parents, they got to keep the parents away from the kids who are in the tournament. That's what Macy, they it looks like they're in prison. They've locked them up. But anyway, so they're watching it and the kid makes a move. And I'll never forget this. Lawrence Fishburne goes, "There it is!" And he points at this like it's an action scene. Like he made this movie. There it is! That movie rules, man. Patrick says, Monopoly was always a staple at our house, often going into marathon sessions, ending in arguments with my younger sister. No, I've seen that happen. Mastermind, Parcheesi, chess, Uno, poker, and spades were also big. During the Bulls dynasty era, Trivial Pursuit was played often among our friends. It would be wings, booze, basketball, and board games on a Friday night. Great times. Oh, man. 301 area code says, Patty Vasquez plays Battleship online frequently with one of her listeners, Jasmine. Oh, Jasmine. She plays Battlefield with our buddy Jasmine. Canadian Bill says, what about Canasta? It's always fun to play with three or more decks. Yeah, I know. That's insane. Cribbage, board and counting cards. 815 says, my kids and I would play Clue while we watched either the movie Clue or The Private Eyes with Tim Conway and Don Knotts. Tim Conway and Don Knotts, man. Private Eyes. Also, I would recommend The Prize Fighter if you're looking for some classic Knotts Conway action. Private Eyes and the Prize Fighter. They were in other things together, but those were like total, you know, comedy team vehicles for those guys. Early 80s, if I'm not mistaken. I think both of them came out either late 70s or early 80s. It was Private Eyes and The Prize Fighter. Fantastic movies. All right, let's take a break here. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Dan, somebody posted on my regular Facebook page a clip from Conan from, I guess, last night. And he had Gritty on. Gritty has been, the Gritty, for those of you who don't know, that's the new mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers. And made quite an impression when they unveiled him the first time he went on the ice. He's shooting people with the t-shirt gun. He's falling on his ass. He's like, he's never been on ice before. And so, like, John Oliver did a huge bit last week involving Gritty. He's been mentioned on Kimmel. He's been mentioned on Colbert, where they did a whole second. I mean, it's become, you know, this sort of phenomenon. And so they had Gritty on Conan, and he's like, we're going to find out who's underneath the mask. Like, we want to know who the guy is who's under the mask of Gritty. So they've got Gritty out there. They're talking about how terrifying he looks, and like, it's, you know, it's like the mascot himself is terrifying looking, that he's freaking people out, and we want to get to know the guy who's inside the mask. And he takes off the mask, and his face is like the Gritty mask, only uglier and scarier. He's got orange beard and like weird eyes sticking out of his head, and Conan, you know, after he takes the mask off, Conan looks at him, so they're getting a lot of mileage out. I'll tell you that the Flyers are getting a lot of press. And they're not backing down either. That, like, what's it? I think at one point, somebody said something. I can't remember what it was, but it was like an opposing team made fun of him and said, you know, like, this is the worst mascot, the scariest looking thing of all time. And then, like, and it was on his Twitter account. It was on because Gritty's got a Twitter account and a Facebook page. And so he said something, and then Gritty's response was, "You better sleep with one eye open." So they're embracing that. They're embracing this thing as being terrifying. You better sleep with one eye open, the mascot says. It's fantastic. Okay, Twister is on the list. 90% nostalgia, 80% play, 90% cult, 50% education. Again, what, you got to learn your left from your right, right?
Oh, there you go. I was thinking yoga moves.
Yeah, that's true. Blokus. Or Blokus?
Blokus, I believe.
Created in 2000, award-winning Blokus challenges 2 to 4 players to arrange each of their 89 shapes into a grid-like board. Yeah, that's true. That would be Blokus. Negotiating space and strategically defending territories make this game puzzling and thrilling. 60% nostalgia, 80% play, 70% cult, 90% education. It won a Teacher's Choice Award too. It was a Mensa Select. So Sharon Stone picked it. You know Sharon Stone is a member of Mensa.
I do know that.
Yeah, she makes sure everybody knows that. Connect 4. Our friend Ike mentioned that one a little bit earlier. That gets a 90% nostalgia rating, 75% play, 60% cult, and 80% education. That's a classic one. Connect 4 is a classic one. And the best part is, like, when you're done, you flip that thing on the bottom and all the chips fall out on the table. That's the best part.
Former Chicago Bull Rajon Rondo, he is a huge Connect 4, like, to the point where it's like, almost fist fights with people over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's very into that game.
Wow, you're really getting into that much into Connect 4. Ah, here it is. Operation. 90% nostalgia, 80% play, 60% cult, 60% education. Now, well, wait a minute now. He's got, like, his Adam's apple. He's got butterflies in his stomach. What do you learn? None of the ailments that Cavity Sam has. His funny bone, you get the
hand-eye coordination,
I guess. Well, yeah, no, seriously, that says using fine motor skills and hand-eye coordination, wannabe surgeon are commissioned to remove body parts from Cavity Sam. Milton Bradley's whimsy patient with the red light-up nose, without touching the electrically charged edges that buzz the failed end of the turn. So, there you go. Yahtzee, well, classic. Yahtzee's a classic. It gets 90% nostalgia, 50% play, 50% cult, 90% education. So, as much fun and passion as this game generates, it also involves quite a complex mental operations and probability and overall quantitative skills. It was created in Toledo, Ohio. The game does not replicate itself easily and has proven durable and popular through its iconic lifespan. Yeah, Heather, my ex, was obsessed with Yahtzee. Would play Yahtzee, I mean, would play hours and hours of Yahtzee. So, I think Yahtzee's a good game. I think it deserves more than 50% on the play category. It's quite a fun game. All right. Let's see. We've got more texts coming in. 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, we're talking board games here. In light of the fact that Scrabble has added 300 words to their dictionary that you can now use legally. 312-981-7200. Let's see. 618 area code. Jenga, higher than Trivial Pursuit. Flames. There are flames on the side of my face. Very good. Joanne says, I own Searching for Bobby Fischer on DVD, and it is still and will always be in my top 10 favorites. See, there you go. Here's the thing. I don't think a ton of people have seen it, but the people that have seen it love it. You know what I mean? Like, it might have a small following, but that following is passionate. That's another one. By the way, you know what, Dan? I totally forgot this. That would come in close to Mambo Kings when I was living with Scott.
Ah.
We watched Searching for Bobby Fischer like 9,000 times. Michelle in Geneva says, Johnny Orifice? I'll be laughing at that until Tuesday. Well, thank you, Michelle. That's what they should call. Don't you think Johnny Orifice is a better name?
I think we need to make a knockoff.
A knockoff of Operation.
Robert Cobb, Johnny Orifice.
Called Procedure? We can call it Procedure with Johnny Orifice. 815 area code says, I really like how these games are ranked. Where can I find this list? It's at ravereviews.org for people who want to see this. Because I'm not even and they write a huge write-up on every game. They give you exactly how to play the game, and then they analyze why it's good and what it's good about. And again, breaking it down into the categories of nostalgia, play, cult, and education. If you want to see the whole list, it's at ravereviews.org. And maybe we can throw it on our Facebook page, too. So you can go to facebook.com/NickDShow or ravereviews.org to get the full article. All right, let's take a break here. We get the news coming up, and then we will wrap it up with our board game talk, and then our regular features for Friday morning shall begin. The news is up next. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6, and it's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be popping up straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about board games, and which ones do you guys love? Which ones are your favorites? What did you play when you were a kid? And we're getting a bunch of texts, and you can talk or text to us right now at 312-981-7200. Let's see. 815 area code says Scattergories. Yeah, Scattergories is a fun game. That's a cool game. 630 area code. I love the original version of Life. I would always end up with about 10 kids in the poorhouse. That's not how you play. Okay, next here on the list is Cards Against Humanity, which is now a really popular. It's really, really popular now, right?
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's just huge through the roof. 90% nostalgia, 90% play, 70% cult, 40% education. How about Sorry? Ooh, sorry. That's how Alex Trebek says it. Let's play a game of sorry. It's 60% nostalgia, 80% play, 60% cult, 60% education with a total of 65%. Sorry players might have to say sorry as they negotiate space in this Hasbro classic. There have been several adapted versions, including with Disney Pokemon themes, an express version of the game as well. The game is said to be based on the ancient Indian game of Pachisi. Handheld and computer versions have been released as well. Hungry Hungry Hippos is on this list? 63.75%, 90% nostalgia, 85% play, 70% cult, 20% education. No, no. And in that 20%, you learn about the digestive system of a hippo. How they digest marbles. That's the Mousetrap. I always thought Mousetrap was fun when I was a kid. It's this Rube Goldberg thing that you know, trap that you set up. And it would suck when it didn't work. Like, you'd get the whole thing fixed and all connected and everything. And if it didn't work, that was not a good thing. Nostalgia, 60%. Play, 60%. Cult, 80%. Education, 40%. Cranium. 55% nostalgia, 70% play, 40% cult, 70% education. It's a great game to bring together board groups of people. Cranium's classic version and its many spin-offs, such as Cranium Family Edition, Cranium Party, Cranium Dark, and Kadoo, are welcome additions to the gatherings. It's been awarded for its holistic approach and breadth of skills required, and involves verbal, imaginative, memorized, and performative exercises in rapid succession. They're taking the fun right out of these games, aren't they, Dan?
Not long.
Chutes and Ladders. That's the game that Saoirse likes to play with her dad. 65% nostalgia, 70% play, 45% cult, 50% education. Based on an ancient Indian game called Snakes and Ladders, the children's classic Chutes and Ladders has players roll dice and climb figures up through the welcoming, vibrant board to advance play. Chutes and Ladders is one of the all-time classic children's games that could even delight a nostalgic adult. All right. Oh, the aforementioned Scattergories is next here. 60% nostalgia, 70% play, 40% cult, 50% education. Scattergories was featured on a game show hosted by Dick Clark on NBC in 1993 and has an app version dedicated to it as well. Based on old parlor games, this version was awarded the Mensa Select winner in 1990, and deservedly so. It requires a quick wit and develops one's sense of intuitive and quick on-the-spot thinking. With rounds lasting under 5 minutes, this game really distinguished itself in the realm of decision-making under pressure. It's an important skill for everyday life. Speaking of life. 60% nostalgia, 100% play, 20% cult, 40% education. You mean there's not a cult around surrounding the game of life? I don't know why I find that so surprising. It's a Milton Bradley game. You pick cards that are faced with decisions like getting married, adding small or pink pegs, which were children. Savvy decisions and moral choices and a little bit of luck are layered into the strategic play. Some more recent updates try to reward good behavior to make the message of the game a bit more constructive, and many versions of the game have been developed, often with partnerships in popular television film media. One most recent changes try to make the game less reliant on chance, and that remains the main criteria for success.
All right.
Kerplunk. I remember Kerplunk. That was a fun game. 70% nostalgia, 60% play, 40% cult, 40% education. Don't let your marbles go kerplunk. Carefully draw out a straw from the thicket of 26 to 30 straws while not disrupting the marbles above in this quick play family favorite. Yeah, it's like the marbles are all balanced and it's like Jenga kind of. But you got to pull the little straw out. The game is strategic in the placement and choice of the straws to draw, especially in relation to other players to follow. and it also requires a degree of dexterity and fine motor skills to be successful. A steadier hand will disrupt less than a shaky one will. Really? You think? The main thrill, though, is the suspense of whether the marbles will fall, especially when they begin to slip through the cracks and not quite drop down entirely. It has a few variations based on children's media, like the Toy Story version, which uses a rocket ship instead of a generic cylinder, and then there's also a more portable version of Kerplunk. Trouble and double trouble. Pop the dice in the center bubble and maneuver your colored pieces around the board and back to safety in this catchy, punchy table game. Nostalgia 70%, play 60%, cult 35%, and education 40%. It's quick-paced and easy to learn. Trouble's been cranking out mischief since 1965 and is another board game with roots in the ancient Indian game of Pachisi. The game has an obscure cult following and enjoys several releases of themed editions. The world championship of this game is held each year, with cash prizes and accolades being presented to the winner. Trouble has two variations, Frustration in the United Kingdom and Kimble in Finland. The game teaches basic lessons of numeracy and sequencing in the straight and in a stable and straightforward gameplay setting. All right, next here, Zingo. I don't know Zingo. It's a simplified bingo-like game for early learners. Zingo is perfect for play dates and class adults, so it's a young person's game. It's little kids learning how to play bingo. Good. Get them to gamble early. Nostalgia 20%, play 100%, cult 20%, and education 60%. Reminiscent of matching games, the competitive pressure to call out your match makes the game fun and loud. Also, while traditional bingo is a blast for adults, this version allows for all ages to enjoy. Waiting for the last tile to complete a Zingo is, like its grown-up equivalent, riveting and nerve-wracking. Attention and focus building skills are enhanced, and object recognition creates early understanding of identical sets, similes, and analogies. The ultimate joy is getting to yell Zingo and declare yourself the winner. Of course, Candyland. You can't have a list of board games without talking about Candyland. That's an 80% nostalgia, 60% play, 30% cult, 25% education. Candyland has enjoyed several adaptations, including a full-length films based on the game's characters. While the characters have changed names, Queen Frostine to Princess Frostine and Plumpy has completely disappeared, the candy-coated charm of Candyland has remained, selling over 1 million copies each year. Until the year of 2006, the candy section in Toys R Us in New York City's Times Square had a Candyland theme, and Katy Perry even used the game as a theme in her album California Girls.
Oh, okay.
Pictionary, pretty low on the list, don't you think, Dan? 28?
Yeah.
Out of 30? Pictionary should be much higher, I think. Much, much higher. 45% nostalgia, 80% play, 25% cult, and 40% education. Pictionary has been featured in standalone television shows twice in 89 and 97. Yeah, they made a game show out of it. And a number of variations in the game exist in other game show formats and video formats. Burt Reynolds, they'd win, lose, or draw. Remember that? It was a Burt and Burt production.
There you go.
Burt Convy was the host. They would have different celebrities on, and it was basically Pictionary. We'd draw on the big, easel.
Didn't our own Johnny Putman star on that?
I believe she did. I believe she did. Yes. Yes. And, a little piece of trivia there. The reason why that show got made was because that's what they, whenever anybody went over to Burt's house, this I believe was when he was with Lonnie, whenever anybody would go to Burt and Lonnie's house, they would bust out the easel and they would play it. And the set of Win, Place, or Draw, Win, Place, or Draw, was designed after their living room.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It looked like Burt and Lonnie's living room, so that's one thing that was, they designed it. Pictionary deserved to be higher on this list. Number 9, Cootie. Cootie. Dan, did you ever play Cootie?
I did not.
Oh, I loved that game when I was a kid. You're basically building a like a bug, like a Cootie bug. 60% nostalgia, 60% play, 40% cult, 20% education. Cootie has high sentimental values with baby boomers and is seen as an icon of 20th century games. Other games like Ants in Your Pants, Don't Spill the Beans, and Don't Break the Ice exist as well, but Cootie remains the one classic among them all. I had all of those games, Dan. Every one of them. Don't Spill the Beans, Ants in Your Pants, Don't Break the Ice. Played that and Cootie. These were the games I played the most when I was really young. You know, like up until the age maybe 9 or 10. But those were games that constantly played those games.
Well, what is the purpose of Cootie?
What you do is, it says, can you build a Cootie? This matching table game targeted toward young children originated in 1949. Using a dice to acquire pieces of the Cootie bug, generations of children have been attracted to this award-winning staple. The idea began as a potential fishing lure, which morphed into a toy that became a game named after the cooties or bugs, like lice. Gameplay is determined by chance, and the process does not vary from assembling the cootie, but it can double as a toy itself if your patience runs out. See, basically what you're trying to do is build the cootie thing, and then you can play with it. So, and then finally, coming in last, Pie Face! Do you know what Pie Face is?
I do. This is a Chagrou family favorite, played at many holidays.
Is that right? Explain Pie Face.
So it's, I don't know if it's on a timer or if it's not on a timer or something, but basically you press a button. The point is you get a pie thrown in your face for all intents and purposes.
Like for real?
Not a huge pie, but like pie, you know, like we put whipped cream on the hand, you know.
Right.
And you play it and you get, the lucky person gets that flung at their face.
A highly sought after party pleaser, Pie Face players put each of their face into a cutout frame. Oh, you put your face into a frame?
Right.
While spinning a wheel and rotating a lever, one unlucky player will randomly launch a pie. The pie can be shaving cream or the sweeter whipped cream option for a cleaner option, or a cleaner option of a wet sponge. Oh, if you don't want to have fun, sure, put a wet sponge on there.
Way to be a wet blanket.
Yeah. The element of surprise and drama of anticipation make this game highly entertaining and hilariously messy. It's not hard to tell who wins and loses, although good-natured play makes its winners all involved. It's reminiscent of Russian roulette. But with pies. Did you get a lot of pies in the face?
I did not get a lot of pies in my face, but my late great grandmother, to her credit, 93 years old, played that game and got the whipped cream in the face.
Is that right?
Loved every minute.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, Pie Face made the list, Dan.
That is awesome.
Lots of really good games didn't make the list, but Pie Face did. All right.